I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben White from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bregno from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kivinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Biggie from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome on to the next edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown. It's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast. It is massively, massively appreciated. I asked last week if you do get anything out of this podcast, if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, we'd be massively appreciated. We have had a couple come through, and keep them coming. It definitely helps us, and we see it. Every time we get reviews, we get a bit of a bump in our listenership, and that's because all of these podcast platforms, the more positive reviews you get, the more people they put you in front of. So if you want to help us and give something back to this podcast, that's one way you can do it. It doesn't cost you anything. It takes you just a couple of seconds, and it really helps us immensely. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, it would be massively, massively appreciated. We've got another one of our fly on the wall coaching sessions on today's podcast. We're joined by Coach Marcus van Niekerk, our running coach, and we are going to be chatting to Lisa Krumrikkel, who is based in Johannesburg, Midrand, I think. We're going to be chatting about her experience and what she's been training for and what she needs help with. That's all coming up on today's show. Also, another chance for you to win, thanks to Biogen. We are giving away 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club, as well as a Biogen hamper. And all you need to do is use that hashtag Biogen Journey on the social medias, and you could be a winner. We'll announce the winner at the end of today's show. Welcome on to this edition of Run, and we head to Midrand, just north of Johannesburg and just south of Pretoria today, and we catch up with Lisa Krumrikkel. Lisa, welcome on to Run. It's great to have you on. It's I love these chats because we get to chat to people within our community, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Lisa, before we dive into our chat with Marcus, and let me just say how's it to Marcus while we on the subject. Marcus, good day to you as well.
How's it, Brad? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Marcus.
Lisa, let's talk a little bit about your sort of running history and your sort of backgrounds. How long have you been running, and what got you into the sport?
Probably running on and off for the last 10, 15 years. I used to come from a cycling background, but you go through a phase and then you're over it, and then you try to find something else, and then you run, and then you think, okay, let me go back to cycling. So there's always something going on, and currently it's running.
Do you still ride a bit as well, or is it just running at the moment?
No, it's purely running.
And I'm guessing part of that is just from a time factor. It's just there's just not enough hours in the day to get everything done.
Definitely time, and also I think a safety aspect at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Living in Joburg, it's not the easiest of places to cycle. Often it's a case of you need to hop in the car and head to the Cradle or head south to Sakebos Run. But unfortunately, time doesn't always allow for that. And talk to me about life outside of running. I know you've got a little one. What do you do for a living? And tell me a little bit about what you do.
Quality control. So I'm the quality manager at a manufacturing plant. Otherwise, I'm pretty much an outdoorsy person. We water ski, windsurf, hike, go on a lot of holidays, travel internationally. That's pretty much it.
And from a running perspective, what are some of the goals? What are you hoping to achieve in your running career?
I think comrades, obviously, for a lot of runners, is the big goal. And then just improve on your running experience. I think the biggest thing I would love to do is run a bull run, do a couple of trail runs. Yeah, I think that's it for now. Let's see what comes next.
Have you run a comrades before?
Yes, I did last year.
So you're going back for your back-to-back this year?
I am.
Not too long to go now. How are you feeling ahead of it?
I'm feeling great, actually, right now. But, you know, it might change within 10 minutes.
As it does in the final run into comrades.
Runner's doubt, runner's strategy. Every time I think of how my strategy is going to be, it changes 25 times.
Well, I'm glad we've got you on this call, because it's not too long to go now, and I'm sure we can solidify it, and hopefully it's one that'll last until Comrades and then get you through race day as well. Marcus, let me bring you in here as well. I know you've got the questionnaire that we normally send to all our athletes when we do these sorts of one-on-one calls. So you've got Lisa's sort of running background in front of you. Your initial thoughts before we get into some Q&A and help Lisa sort of...
Yeah, well, I just had a look at your... Sorry, Brad?
No. Before we help Lisa sort of put a plan in place.
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, I think this obviously it's great having a chat to athletes like Lisa, but it makes it tricky so few weeks out from Comrades. But I think, if there's one thing that you can get from this call is if I take some of your past running information as well as your most recent time trial that you did, where you said you ran a 37 minute over 8 kilometers?
No, I ran a 35. Last year I ran a 7, and then this year now, a couple of weeks back, I ran a 35.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you put 37, yeah? Okay, so a couple of weeks back you did a 35, but before that it was 37, right?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So I just quickly need to recalculate that. But sorry, Brad, I'm just going to go just keep the momentum, yeah? So with regards to what you're capable of then, I see you wanted to do a 9:40 at Comrades this year.
Well, I did it a 9:40 last year.
Okay.
So technically, I would have to improve, and the distance is 4 kilometers shorter.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot less.
Okay, perfect. And what was your qualifying time last year?
Also 4.
Sorry, just
356 or 358.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
100%. And then, do I have my facts right? If your current your current PB for this year for a marathon is 359. At the Irini Ultra.
Yes. Yeah, but I wasn't racing at that. I wasn't doing it.
Okay. No, that's fine.
So that was just. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So I don't know if you will be able to recall what your time trial times were like, more or less last year this time, but just to put things into perspective, if I take that 35 minutes that you said you did a couple of weeks ago. You on par for a sub 3:30 marathon, okay? And that'll definitely allow you to go sub 9:40 on Comrades, granted that everything goes well on race day. It's very important that obviously you need to focus on what went well last year and obviously try and exclude the things that didn't work for you. Do you still have one last long run left?
No, I have a 3.5 hour run left.
Okay, but that's perfect. And tell me, is there anything in those runs that's bugging you, or are you very comfortable in what you're doing there?
So from a feeling aspect, I'm really feeling great on my runs at the moment.
Yes.
The only concern, I don't know if it's a concern, I ran on a very high heart rate on my 60 long run.
Okay.
And it wasn't bugging me and it wasn't a problem, but looking back on the stats, I go, you know, maybe I'm running on a too high a heart rate, which could possibly be a problem at Comrades.
Okay. And tell me, what was the average pace with that?
I finished an average of 6:20.
Okay. So taking it really easy. If we work on that 35 minute, 8 kilometer that you did. The basis that I've calculated here for you, your recovery runs can be anything between a 5:35 to a 6 minutes.
Yes, definitely.
Your long runs 4:58 to 5:45.
Yeah.
And then your easy runs 4:55 to about a 5:30. Well, put it this way. Did you have any other symptoms, maybe flu-like symptoms or anything in that line that maybe, pushed up your heart rate a bit?
No.
Okay, perfect. And Lisa, just on which program are you currently? Are you on one of the time-based programs?
Yes.
On the sub 10, I presume.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And everything's been going according to plan there.
Actually, I have, and I've been tracking improvements on all my distances.
Okay.
So from on the 21, I had the improvement. On the time trial, I had the improvement. On that 60 long run, I mean, it wasn't a race, but I still had an improvement.
That's awesome. Okay, so the improvements are definitely coming through, which is great. So
yes.
I don't know if you look, like I said, once again, it's tricky with so few weeks left before race day. But I don't know if you want to take down the paces that I gave you earlier. Just for reference purposes, it'll just help you if the paces that you've been running on is way different to this, and you try and run with these new paces, then and it's difficult, having said that, then rather stick to the old paces. But if it's similar and it just narrows down the pacing zones, if I can call it that, and makes your training a slight bit more efficient for the last 4 weeks leading into race day, or before you hit that last week's taper, then I think it will obviously benefit.
Can you give me those paces again? I didn't write them down, sorry.
No worry. So your recovery run pace should be between a 5:37 and a 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Long run, your 4:58 to 5:45.
Yeah.
And your easy 4:55 to 5:30. Now those are big brackets. So, I don't mind at all if one runs at the upper end of that bracket. Another nice thing to always use as cross-reference is your heart rate. But I find, especially with ladies, over the age of 35, they tend to, their heart rates tend to be slightly higher. But what I generally do follow as a rule of thumb, it's called the math method. So you do 180 minus your age, and that should be your average heart rate after easy runs. So in my case, my average heart rate needs to be 145.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I would also be a 145. I was reading up on it.
Okay.
And then there was also a podcast from Lindsay about, you know, not relying too much on your heart rate zone, especially during comrades.
I know, but that's during the race, because obviously as you start running, you'll start sweating, and majority of your blood is made up of water. So the more you sweat, the less blood in theory you have in your system. So your heart rate tends to go higher and higher because it needs to work harder to circulate the less blood you have in your system. So that's what they call cardiac drift, or that's where the term comes from. So
okay.
Your heart rate generally tends to, the graph tends to pick up, your heart rate becomes higher at the same or even less effort than you would have two hours before. So it just makes sense to not pay too much attention to your heart rate, especially during, you know, runs, I'd say more than 4 hours. And obviously you'll be way over that come comrades.
Okay.
Perfect. So yeah, I think with regards to your most recent time trial, like I said, it's definitely on par for a 3:30 marathon, and that should comfortably get you to a sub 9:40. What was your strength and what was your weakness in last year's race?
My strength was the last 20 kilometers.
Wow. Okay. Did you run a faster pace over the last 20 kilometers?
The last 20 kilometers actually were my closest to my fastest split.
Wow.
Okay.
Maybe but I had a major dip. I dropped between 50 and 60.
Okay.
Lisa, if I can just ask you a question there, why do you think those last 20Ks were so strong? I mean, looking back at your race, did you find that you started really conservatively that allowed you to run that at the end? What do you think it was?
Do you know what? In my club, we're actually quite competitive. So, and it was, and I was running with a whole bunch of club members who were actually really nicely paced, and we trained for a long time together. And it was the living fear of getting dropped by them.
That's a beautiful story.
And I promise you, I was so scared that they are going to drop me. So I said, okay, I'm not going to walk anymore. I'm not going to stop and say hello to everyone. I'm just going to keep running. And then when they catch me, because I'm so tired, they will catch me. And I just kept running, running, running. And
they never caught you.
And they never caught me.
I love that. What a cool story.
Thanks.
One day when I'm big, I want to tell a story like that.
But you know what? It's different factors. You're in a good space, and then you start running again. And I had great support along the way. So I knew my partner and my little one were going to be at the finish line. And that was, in essence, my drive. Okay. And to get over with it.
A little bit. Just to have it done. As they say in South Africa, you were gutful.
Yeah, absolutely.
As many of us are. And weakness, what do you think you struggled with on race day last year?
Okay, so I wasted a lot of energy. There was a lot of, there's always so much chatting in the beginning. And then you don't have a consistent pace because you're running with a group, and sometimes you run faster, and then you walk, and then you see so many people that you want to greet because, in essence, they're there to support you, and you want to give them, a heads up some time of your day, and it's actually a lot of time wasting.
From when to when was that? From which kilometers? From the start to?
Oh, no, the whole comrades.
Okay.
I stopped quite a lot. So I saw my partner about 12 times. So that's 12 hugs.
Okay. Yeah. So look, I mean, that in a way is actually, look, you can turn that into a really big positive as opposed to being a negative.
Yes.
Instead of stopping, I mean, he can run 50 steps with you. But what I'm trying to get to is, Seeing people that you love or someone that obviously you want to see that person next to the route, it obviously gives you energy.
And it absolutely does. So they're both back on the side of the road this year.
Okay, perfect. But I mean, like I said, it doesn't need to be a stop. But having said that, it could also be that your legs just had a nice short break 12 times during the route if he wasn't there, it wouldn't have happened. So instead of taking walk breaks, you just had a little stop, exchanged a few words, and then you moved on. That in itself
is also a little break.
I beg your pardon?
It's very possible. I think it's from one comrades, you can't always draw those 100% conclusions. I'm too novice for that probably.
What, did you go out and try to run a specific time last year?
No.
Okay.
So the morning of, I wasn't feeling 100%. I was a little bit tight in my hamstrings, so we just said, do you know what, let's just go out easy. But it was definitely a sub-10. I wasn't going to budge on anything else.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I've got a gut feeling that you'll be able to go well under that. So the only pity is that you weren't able to run a hard marathon to get close to that 3:30 marker, because I think that would have been a very big mental boost for you. But look, if you want to go out on the, I don't know, definitely the sub-10 bus, or even the 9:30 bus, I wouldn't, I'm very, cautious to make suggestions like that, because I actually said it on the forum the other day. These buses only work for some people. For me, I'm sorry to say it, but they're super annoying because I can't, like, I just want to have it's my race, and I don't want people around me singing and cheering. And look, it's like seeing people next to the road that you want to see, but sometimes you just want some peace and quiet. You just want to focus on your pacing. If I want to take a walk break, I take a walk break. I don't want to walk when someone else feels, okay, now the whole group needs to take a walk.
Yeah.
But I mean, you must just really, be clever about the way you approach your race, because based on the stuff that you've submitted on your online questionnaire, you should be able to run well under 9:40. And the more calculating you approach this race, the better. But also keep in mind that races change, and so does race plans or strategies. I always tell my athletes, there will come a time in the race where your pacing chart will probably become insignificant, and you will need to then adapt and say, okay, right, I'm so far in, this is the time, this is what I need to do to get to my goal. What am I going to do? So for me last year, I said 24 kilometers left. I'm going to walk for 1 minute for every kilometer marker I get. And I had to make sure that my pace, including with that 1 minute walk, was still around a 525, 530, in order to achieve my goal. And luckily I managed to do that, but you're really going to have to be, I always tell my athletes, they need to be in the moment. So I'm sure you've experienced it, but there comes a time in any endurance race where stuff tends to become a blur, and not many people are able to still be in the moment, and be able to adapt their race strategy. So that's just one thing that you possibly need to keep into consideration or take into consideration.
So from my long run that was now at a pace of 6:20, and I actually felt really great. I could have continued running if I had to, not that I wanted to, but you know, if it was another 10, 20 or 30, I probably could have done for it. Does that mean I could go out at an average of 6:20 for the first 60 kilometers and at 60 kilometers see how I feel and then?
Look, if you go out on a 6:20, you're on par for 9:10, okay?
Okay.
I always say that if for me it's better to go out slightly slower and control the process to the end.
Marcus, if I can just jump in there as well, Lisa, the uprun's very different to the downrun. And in my experience, the first 60Ks are what make and break your comrades. And if you err on the side of caution in the first 60, if you can get to the top of Inchanga, and I say this all the time, if you can get to the top of Inchanga feeling, you're not going to feel great, but if you're feeling okay and you can run, if your legs are still feeling good, you can make up so much time from 60Ks to the bottom of Poly Short because it's really nice, gentle running. And the reason people hate that part of the race is because they've blown their comrades in the first 60Ks. They've gone out way too hard thinking they're going to try and make up some time so that they've got it in the bank for later on in the race. And if you can... Yeah, if you can start out slightly more conservative and get to that point in the race, I tell you what, not many people will pass you from the top of Inchanga.
What kilometer mark is that?
It's about 60.
So that's fine, but it means I only have 27 kilometers left. I don't know if I'll be able to up the pace to a 6 minutes a K from a 6:30 then.
Yeah, but the risk that you face, Lisa, is that if you overcook it ever so slightly, and the thing is you don't really realize it because the majority of the climbing happens in the first 28 kilometers. And that's the beauty of the comrades route is that you feel so fresh and you're overcooking it and you don't really realize it until you hit
Inchanga.
So that's Inchanga is 43 kilometers in, and that's about 44 to go. So it's just short of the halfway mark, or let's call it the halfway mark. And I'll tell you what, if you didn't approach the first 28 kilometers with caution, then the chances are you're going to pay for it later in the race. If I was you, I'd go out even at a 6:30 pace. That's a 9:24 total time.
I can live with that.
I beg your pardon?
I can live with that.
Yeah, so if you go out on that, and then trust me, I think where the most people lose their time is going up little polys and polys, because once you get there, your legs feel the way they do. It doesn't look like a hill. It looks like a wall. And if you can get there in the shape that, or in a condition where you can still implement a firm run walk strategy, or even, you know, just have one or two planned walks in that long climb. And then it's slide or downhill from once you go over the top of polys, it's mostly downhill. You've got a few rolling hills and then it's home time. And I'll tell you what, I've always said this. If you control the process from the beginning to the end, and what I mean by that is starting slightly slower as opposed to starting slightly faster, but then after a while the process starts controlling you, you've got absolutely no say in what you or how you want to finish, because you're just going to have to nurse yourself home. Whereas if you start slightly more conservative, especially on comrades uprun, trust me, you're going to thank yourself for it later in the race.
Okay. But a 6:30 for 9:24, I think that sits okay with me. That sits quite nicely with me.
Yeah, Lisa, and if you do that first, I mean, what Marcus was saying, I think Inchanga, the bottom of Inchanga, is when you come out of, once you've gone through Drummond and you start climbing, that's just past the halfway. But to the top of Inchanga, that's a long climb out of that valley. And if you can get there feeling good, I'm telling you now, I mean, my experience and the one I always talk about was 2013 when it was really hot. On that uprun, it was terrible. But I was helping a mate through who hadn't done much mileage. And I was running much slower than I would have generally been running. And we got to the top of Inchanga and I was feeling fantastic. And I only realized how hectic it was after the race when I realized how many people didn't finish because of the heat. And I think the reason we had such a good day that day is because we paced that first half perfectly. We started out slower than what we ordinarily would have. And I tell you what, it paid us back in spades in the second half of the race.
And just quickly tell me, on the variances, obviously we talk six, you know, the whole thing of averaging is actually, I find it quite tricky. So a 6:30 average, do I vary between a 6 and a 7, a 5:50 and a 6:40 minute a K? How do I get to that perfect 6:30 without having those big variances in my pace?
So I think it also, that's what I spoke about earlier, where you're going to get to a point in the race and you're going to need to adapt your strategy or your plan from, let's say, from 60 to 87 kilometers or 7 to 70 to wherever you are in the race to say that, okay, right, I'm either a few seconds before schedule or ahead of schedule, or I'm a few seconds behind schedule. So you need to adapt in and say, listen, am I going to do the downhill slightly faster? Because it's no use, you know, chasing yourself up or trying to make up for lost time on the uphills. But it's also obviously risky doing it on the downhills. But when you can, steal a few seconds per kilometer if you are behind schedule. The pacing chart that I'm not too sure. I think Lindsay will have pacing charts at the Expo again this year, but those should take the different hills into account, and all the different, or the five big climbs into account. So, yeah, I know it's tricky, because you also need to take into consideration how much time you're going to take to cross the line. One can never be able to give you the exact time that you're going to do that, but it's definitely something that you're going to have to adapt during your run. What I just normally do, I just have an average pace visible somewhere on my watch on one of the data screens. Yeah. And then I just need to plan the rest of my run according to that.
Lisa, what I'll do as well is I will get Lindsay to – I think the pacing charts have been done already because they've been sent to comrades to get made because they sell them for charity at the expo. But I will get the actual digital versions from Lindsay, and I will pop them up on the platform like we did for the Two Oceans one. So they'll be under the shared files folder in the platform. I can't make any promises how long it's going to take, but I'll try and get it up there in the next week or two as soon as I get it from Lindsay. And then that will be able to give you, because what Marcus said is each segment takes into account what the terrain is like. So obviously that stretch from the bottom of Field Hill right to the top of Bothers Hill, you're going to slow down because there's some major, major climbing there, and that does sort of come or get taken into account on those pacing charts. So that'll definitely help as well.
Awesome. Because, I mean, I read a lot and I watch a lot of podcasts and your Google takes over. And I've seen pace charts and it's just, they expect you to maintain that pace up all the hills. And I just won't be able to do it, which means I'll have to run really fast.
Yeah, Lisa, one of the big issues too, and we saw this at Two Oceans, people are following a coach's training program and then they come to Lindsay for a pacing chart or vice versa. They're following one of Lindsay's, or they're following another, or following Lindsay's program and they go to someone else for a pacing chart. So the entire picture is written with a certain philosophy in mind. So my suggestion would be if you're following one of our training programs, use Lindsay's pacing charts and that'll definitely then get you sort of on the right pacing to what you've been training for, what you've been used to, and you can just then slot that into race day. So I'll make sure that that happens.
Okay, awesome.
Cool. Lisa, unfortunately, we are out of time. We've got another call scheduled, but I've thoroughly enjoyed that chat, and I think it was an important one to talk about, particularly now, getting that sort of race strategy in place. We've also got a Comrades webinar coming up on this coming Monday. We're going to be talking more about that. And then the one that happens 2 weeks out from Comrades Race Day, we talk specifically about race day and how to sort of pace your race, what you need to do from a strategy perspective. You're not going to want to miss out on that one as well. So thanks for your time today. Best of luck in the final run-in. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing how you go on race day.
Thanks so much, guys, and good luck with your running as well.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Good chatting.
And that's a wrap. Thank you very much to Marcus and Lisa for joining us on this podcast. And thank you to you for listening. Before I go, though, just this week's winner. And it's a fantastic message that was posted on Facebook. And it's from Gabby Turin. Gabby saying she's feeling motivated with Lindsay Parry, which is awesome. She says, this year, my training for Comrades has been completely different to what I've done for the past 7 years. After a crappy Oceans and very tiring last long run, I was starting to doubt whether I was up for Comrades this year or next. I listened to the latest Lindsay Parry podcast about where are you right now, and decided to take a week out from training and doubting. Yesterday was a small pre-work warm-up trot, and today I did the Durbach Club Run. Wow, what a difference. A little stepping back did. Not only did I feel heaps better, but my Comrades head switch flicked on, and yes, I may not be in the best, it may not be the best one this year, but I'm going to enjoy it and get that tiny medal. So anyone that's going through the same patch of doubt for whatever reason, sometimes a little break from it all is just what you need. Go grab your medal and stomp the doubt. Hashtag Biogen Journey. Gabby, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that's something we all need to hear sometimes. As much as a race like Comrades or whatever it is you're training for, if it's a marathon or if it's your first 10K, the training can get very overwhelming, and sometimes just taking a day or two or seven away from the sport and just clearing your head makes the world of difference. You're not going to lose any fitness, it's not going to impact whether you get your goal or not. But coming into an event like that mentally fresh is going to make the world a difference. So, Gabby, well done. I think that's amazing. And I think you're going to have, I think you may surprise yourself. You're going to have a great Comrades this year. So, thanks for sharing that. We'll be in touch to get your prize to you. And don't forget, if you are running Comrades, just like Gabby is, make sure you check out the last of our Comrades online seminars. It's happening just a couple of days' time. All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/webinar to register. It's free, and you are going to get a ton out of it, particularly. If you're worried about what to do on race day, we're going to be talking all about race day management in this one, okay? So definitely check it out. That's coachparry.com/webinar. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, Marcus, and the rest of the team here at Coach Parry, thank you so much for joining us. We'll chat soon.